Okay, this voice comes out of Courtney.
And I'm Peter.
Amazing. Amazing how that works. Well, we're going to save all the weird stuff for later on, and we're going to get right into the new record. Then we'll talk about all the stuff you don't want to talk about.
No, we won't.
Earth to Dandy Warhols. Happens. This one, you've done something different. Am I correct that these are new and some very old songs that you've kind of brought back?
They always are, though. You know, I'm just not prolific enough to sit down and go, okay, starting today on, this will be the next record. So all of our records have songs that are coming from 2 months earlier, 10 years earlier, whatever. You know, I mean, you come up with riffs when you're 13 years old. And they hang around in your head and in your hands, and then they come out when you're 29 and you put half a verse to it, you know? And, like, that is perfect. That's exactly what you feel then. There it is. Well, you're the same person another 4 years later, and you finish it. So that happens. I'm sorry we ever discussed it. I'm sorry we talk at all, really, because we're not meant for this kind of garbage. What we do is we make music. We make records, we make songs. We are at our best, we are at our finest, we're at our purest as people when we do that. When we sit around and talk or get on some TV show or whatever, you know, that's just stupid. We're not celebrities and we're not entertainers. We have no training in that kind of crap. But we did start at probably 5, 6, 7 years old being obsessive about music and not really paying attention to much else. And I can speak for myself and Pete and Fathead and that we don't really have particularly amazing social skills because of it. So, you know, I don't know, whatever. Talking gets us into trouble. Having questions like that, you know, I mean, for God's sakes, anything outside of the music itself is detrimental to this band. And it makes stupid people really angry. We really make mean people meaner. And it's, you know, it's great because it means that we live in a bubble of really kind of sweet, nice people. That's who shows up at our shows. That's who wants to shake our hand. That's who wants to hang out, get coffee. If we're getting coffee that we just met in Milwaukee or whatever, you know, so it's good. But yeah, if you start to get into the internet where the creepiest people seem to live, then yeah, what band are they talking about? You at some point as an artist, and hopefully very early in your career as it was for us, like about the second week of a band, we really just decided that we were going to appeal to people that we like, and that was going to be it. And we would rather play for 50 people that we want to hang out with than thousands of people that we don't like because, you know, they're the majority and you're supposed to need to have a lot of people buy your records and be into you as a band. And we kind of figured we could have this noble experiment where we try to just not be that and not take a vertical slice out of society and get, you know, 4 million records sold to just anyone. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just take the one layer out of there that are like, okay, you've probably had a little college, you've, you know, you can discuss, you know, sort of intellectual things, but you're not up your butt about it. And, you know, I mean, just, you know, these kind of people that are kind of nice, but a little self-insecure, but self-aware, confident, insecure, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, this sort of kind of person that I think all of us are. And so far it's working. It is working. We've made a couple mistakes, but, and really tragic ones, most of them involving trusting other people with what we do and thinking that they are, you know, not selfish or self-centered or utterly soulless or creepy. We were wrong. We're a little naive in that way. But so far it is working and it's working well and we have a great time. The only time we don't really have a great time is you know, really this kind of situation or when they get the video cameras out or whatever. Then we're just fish out of water. I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, let's try to put you back in the water. So when I was reading
I mean, we can go?
Yeah. Yes, you're out of here. Right, sorry. No,
we'll sit here and...
Nah, you know, you gotta be. You got a record here for crying out loud. You want to talk about it a little
you
bit.
You have to do this. This is apparently a very important part is to saturate all the mediums that you can, you know, radio and video and online and all this stuff. Try to get your thing out. But it really should be art. I mean, this, you know, in the perfect world, we sit and we edit this interview down into only the most worthwhile, what we feel is the most truly us moments. And that's, you know, that's why we have our studio. We have a Quarter City Block in Portland that is a bunch of our friends who are all great artists and one thing or another, editing film, editing photos down, blah, 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 anything, interviews, to try to just make sure that our thing is clear.
But the bottom line is that I hear things like, in one song, your lips, they sure do match my wallet, shotguns off the dance floor, talk about Dostoevsky. And what you're saying is true. You're doing it because it's fun.
Well, that was one really scary night in Tijuana.
Well, good. Tell me about that.
Had a night off. We had just played San Diego. Me and a couple of the boys from the opening band decided we were going to stay and fly to the next gig so that we could go to Tijuana and get in a cab and say, take me to the most expensive restaurant in Tijuana. Okay, let's try this.
The most expensive restaurant in Tijuana. Now that's
lobster.
An interesting.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I've never seen that place. Tell me about it.
Well, a lot of Escalades in the parking lot, right? Black Escalades. Everybody really nicely dressed families. Most of the men have two or three cell phones. Half of them at least have a gun. A pistol, and there's a, for one big family that was having some kind of birthday or something celebration, probably 15 of them, there was two kind of big men with leather overcoats and real, automatic, semi-automatic or whatever, machine gun kind of things under their coats, just standing smiling, and they would get, the ladies would get up and hand one of them the baby, and then you'd see the full arsenal as they're chuckling along, holding the baby, and then the jacket comes open with the baby and the piece and two pistols.
And it really is the third world, isn't it?
It was really something. And then from there we went to kind of the opposite. We walked in, we just ordered some top shelf margaritas, we ordered lobster for the three of us, and we look like crap. I mean, we look like we don't belong there for sure. But you start, okay, we're here for lobster. So great. Now we've got 4-5 waiters around our table. Just anything we need. It's all there, Then where do we go? We want the CD bars. Ugh. Okay, so we did. We did the CD bars and down off Revolucion, the big street with the donkey show, you and donkey. And so there's stairs going down into this. And we started to head down, and there's velvet paintings on the walls. Juanita Joplin, Roberto Plant. It was like.
Did you buy any of those classics?
They weren't for sale.
Oh, man.
But we headed down. I go, you guys, this smells like Amsterdam. Oh, jeez. We get down, and this guy immediately is on us with three joints, and it's like, he's like, $5 single. So I gave him a 20 and I said, just start rolling, buddy. And he's, oh, okay. Sits us down next to a guy, American expat, has been there for smoking crack out of a pipe at the bar next to us. And we, don't go to the bar. He's telling us, don't just sit here, just stay here. I'll get you beers and blah, blah, blah. And he's bringing these big buckets of beer. And then at one point, and it had the best sounding stereo I might have ever heard in my life, this bar. Fantastic. And they're playing Queen and really just great classic rock. And something about it just had that warm, very kind of Mexican, big, boomy, warm bottom end, real crispy, clear high end, and not a lot of mid-range, right?
Which is what you want.
I love it.
Mid-range is evil.
Yeah, it's only there to, kind of make guitars
mid-range
work.
Is to make the bottom and the crisp highs exist.
Connect, yeah.
Because all you have to do is take an equalizer and do that, and next thing you realize that mid-range is kind of what 80% of the world has in their car.
Yeah, right. It should be felt, not heard.
That's right.
Police came down. They just shut the music off, turned the lights up, and like, just don't move. Someone gets a mop out in the middle of the floor. The cops come down, just thundering down, just and jack boots and the flight jackets and the whole, and then they disappear in the back, and then everyone just sits there perfectly still. And this gal is mopping the middle of the floor, the dance floor, And then they're back out. Some kid zip tied up, hip hop looking guy, and they've got guns. They're holding guns. This kid was down. I don't know what he's selling, guns, drugs, who knows. Out he goes. Music lights go off. They come back on. You know, there's only like 13 people in this bar, but I've had the orphanage. I had them. They made a linear narrative of this song in animation, Ralph Bakshi kind of like Disney gone to filth kind of style, and so then it is very good to have the narrative be visually apparent.
The other thing that was of interest to me, and I know it's gotten written up a little bit, but there's some, you know, and it gets written up more than it should, but you went after Mr. Martin to play banjo. Did you actually talk to him to play banjo on Love Song, or was it a vision that you kind
of... No, our manager got a hold of his manager and got, you know, blown off and kind of like...
But I thought he had a sense of humor, for crying out loud. I thought he was hip and cool.
Steve Martin?
He may.
He might. Who knows?
Maybe his manager is the problem.
I would say absolutely. We don't know how far it went.
We have no idea. Same thing with one of the Beach Boys. We met when we played we played here with Tom Petty.
Yeah.
And you know, hung out with Stevie Nicks and that whole gang, and Carl. There's a Carl.
Yeah, there's a Carl. I know.
I can't remember his last name, but
Carl is scary.
But he, you know, I said, you know, I got a chance to sit and talk with him for a second. I was like, I'd really like your help on some vocal arranging things, this record we're making right now, and we'll be in our studio for the next year and a half or what, you know, I mean, it takes us forever to make a record. And he was like, oh, great, yeah, you guys are fantastic. You got great harmonies, blah, 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 blah. You know, but once it goes to manager, trying to get a hold of management, like, you just got like this big tool in the way, you know, like, old school. I mean, I guess that's just an old school problem. It's what we ran into in the industry and that whole debacle of our lives. So, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, Steve, it's like, dude, whatever. Fortunately, it didn't work out. We got so I texted Mike Campbell.
I was gonna say you got Campbell and Knopfler. So yeah. It's not exactly like, you know, come on, okay, we're talking music, right? Let's forget talking, you know, the jerk.
Right.
Right? Let's forget talking
rambling,
you know,
guy. Let's not talk
rambling. Right. Let's
guy.
Not talk about that stuff. Let's talk about music
Steve
for a second.
Steve Martin is
he is
one
a killer banjo. No, he's
bands,
an amazing
the most
banjo
intuitive
player.
Intuitive and
no,
soulful,
is.
Beautiful.
He is
just fantastic. Fortunately, so is Mike Campbell.
Well, but that's my point. Yeah, it's not like you went from, you know, a piece of, you know, from a silk purse to a, you know, to a burlap, you know, bad tote bag here.
Yeah, pocket with a hole in it.
Yeah.
Well, that was the goal. My text to Mike Campbell was like, all right, now I'm pissed, you know. Okay, so then I'm going to find out who's the best banjo player. Who will Steve Martin be jealous that we got? So I texted Mike Campbell and I said, who's the best banjo player in the world? And he texted me back, I am. He's kidding, but he actually is just an awesome banjo player. Of course, anything with strings, Mike Campbell's the man. So, perfect. Sent him the song, loved it. I also at that time thought, God, Mark Knopfler he's one of the best guitar pickers in history. So I bet he plays banjo. And he said he wanted to play on the song, but he doesn't play banjo. So I asked him to get that old dobro that's on the cover of Brothers in Arms. It's apparently a very famous, like, maybe Civil War era or something like that.
No, they're not. They're 30s.
30s?
20s, 30s.
I thought it was 1800s or something.
Teens. I don't think they made them that.
Anyway, it's quite a prize, this thing, and I want him to play it, so it is on our record forever, that dobro from the cover of Brothers in Arms.
Peter, when Courtney comes to you and he comes up with a thing like, say, that last track on the album.
The last? Oh.
Yeah. Like that Muse track. So tell me, that track, that Nougat.
Muse de Nougat.
Yes, I know. 5 years of French, it's down the tubes. I'm having fun with you. When he comes with this artsy-fartsy crap and says, I want to put on 13 minutes at the end of the record to mess with people's mind, what does the rest of the band say? You don't get to answer.
We don't ask any questions. It's just like, okay, now we do this. It's like something else, some other flavor. I mean,
Courtney, when you Courtney, let's make it a psychological terror.
That is a lot. That piece is a lot more Pete than it is me in general.
No, I know. I'm having fun with
even
this.
No, I don't know. I want you guys to role play. Really ended up in there, except like re-triggering all your stuff. Or like,
it's about, and this is part of the thing that when we started was, you know, to find four artists that make things happen together, that we've become you know, very good musicians, but we certainly weren't when we started. I mean, we learned how to play in this band and that's about it. You know, I spent my life playing, you know, symphonic and jazz lab, marching band, blah 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 blah. I never sang and played guitar. You know, I played chimes and snare timpanis, snare, you know, you name it. I was a drummer, percussionist, and you know, Fathead is just an amazingly technically skilled guitar and vocalist. Fathead is way better than I am. He did a lot more singing and playing guitar his entire life than I did. His father is a fantastic singer, guitar player. So for him, drums is the second instrument. For me, guitar and singing is the second instrument. Pete's a painter. Pete's a painter who had a guitar and amp. You know, it is about, I put down one color, Zia puts one color or spreads this color into that, Pete says this into that, Fathead does this, and that's what it is. If you don't like something that somebody else did, then fix it, adapt it, so that now you love it.
But that last track is a piece of art. You know, you can't define that.
It's not about.
You can't define that as a song per se.
It's a texture.
Kind of, yeah, it's a piece of art.
It's a texture for you to, by that point, hopefully you will have a lot of stuff to think about, and you don't want the music getting in the way of your own thoughts.
Well, that's true. After you've gone through, you know, knowing about, you know, Third World and Lips Not Matching Wallets and you know, Spaghetti Westerns and all of that, it's true. You do need a little bit of downtime.
Yeah, about.
After all that Dandy Warhol's challenge, you
15.
Need. Yeah, 13 minutes and 56 seconds or whatever the heck it actually is.
Yeah.
Actually, the last, 30 seconds or minute is so quiet that, again, if you don't have that proper speaker system...
You should be able to sleep by then.
Well, so
it is worth it.
You survived.
I hope.
I'm actually, when I was looking at the Dandy Warhol section in, you know, on my shelves, I said, this morning I was looking and I said, these guys survived major labels longer than they ever were destined to.
Yeah.
I mean, you really did. You played the game and you went with it.
What it was, we sold enough records and other bands love us. We're friends with Bowie and The Cure and everybody. People who make records listen to our records and go, "Geez, you guys are fantastic," you know? And so that kind of kept us, you know, sat down and told after Come Down, those guys got fired, new whole regime, president, vice president, blah, blah, blah. You know, hey, Courtney, come in here, sit down here. You have a nice talk with the new president? Great. Now let me tell you how it really is. We're not gonna get rid of you, okay? But, you know, come on, hey, who are you kidding? You're not gonna get big, right? So I'm gonna tell you what you got. Here's your marketing budget. You spend it on one big video. You spend it on radio pluggers. You spend it on touring for the rest of your life. I don't care, but here's what you get. Here's your budget. You know, have fun, kid. Knock yourself out. So after we sold a million records of that one, because we did it right, everything went, you know, fine and great. People seemed things were going right. Well, then all of a sudden, we're not just these kind of screw up, leave them alone. They're kind of neat. I don't understand. But if you
now you're
like
a product.
Them. Now, if they got that big on their own, imagine if we take control.
Right.
And so then we have.
We can now craft them into what they can really be.
Boy band.
Yeah, well, of course.
So, yeah, it was
boy,
very
that
hard.
Works. That so does not work for this band.
It so does not.
It was, so does not work.
Yeah, and we had the hardest five
That's
years
evil.
Of my life. It was like being a pre-adolescent again. And it was just horrible.
I know, it's really like going on your first date for the 48th time.
God,
it's like
five
oh,
years
no.
solid, every second of every day, bitterly. Fighting against myself, and I was very confused. I had no idea anything. The only thing, fortunately, that didn't get affected was actually the records, the music. We when we go into the studio, we are in a bubble. No one calls us. No one gets to come in. We do what we do. But once it's done, they could remix it without us, without even telling us. Send it right. out. Retouch photos. Put other photos together. I mean, it was a fiasco, and you don't want to badmouth what they've done, because what if somebody likes it? It means something to them. You can't be like the guy who goes, well, yeah, I mean, it's just not us, and it's blah, 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 it's crap, and I hate it. It's like, well, it's just these guys, dorks' version of it, radio people, blah, blah, blah. You know, if it's valid for somebody else, you don't want to make people unhappy. You know, it'd be really nice if everybody thought like that. It just put us in a really uncomfortable situation, and not for a short time, for like 5 years. But we're off. We got off the label. We started our own record label. We've signed a couple of the coolest bands, and things are just fantastic. Everything is for the right reason again now. So I'm really happy about it.
I invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread. And then I want you to fill in a bunch of other stuff in between with whatever you want to play.
Dreamt,
yeah. Definitely on one side.
Dreamt of. Wasp.
Okay. That's a good place to start.
Okay,
dark
great.
And heavy.
Yeah. The thing is, we do a lot of playlists. All these radio stations want a playlist.
Well, of course.
Radio. So yeah. We're good at this. And
Try to be bad at it.
Yeah, that's the thing is just, you know, I could say play Don't Bring Me Down by ELO, because that is a song I've been trying to rewrite for my entire career. When we have a pop song, it's trying to be like The Who, Can't Explain, or ELO, Don't Bring Me Down. It's somewhere between, it's one of those two things.
Well, both have signature riffs, right?
They
also just from you know.
They're just kind of more uppy or energetic.
They're good driving songs.
Yeah. Can't Explain is more like the coolest Kim deal, you know,
right.
The 60s, ank, gang, ank, right. Ank, that kind of thing. And then there's the, like, Junkie and Holiday, those kinds of things. Those are Don't Bring Me Downs, you know. That's kind of boogie, something boogie, woogie, T-Rexy about it. But you know, people hear that every day. Those songs, you know, like Don't Bring Me Down is on the radio 1,000 times a day on Earth.
It tests well.
So
auditorium so testing, it's a good one.
It would be a waste of time to play that here, where we can play Legarty and Nick, If You Have It by Bauhaus. That's a very important song in my life. That's another one, and that is what I believe is the coolest band in probably history. That or Devo. Devo or Bauhaus, the only two bands that ever took a big name and earned it.